And we are back, and welcome to 2022. How did they say? Is it 2020? But it's really 2022? Correct. So this is the Empower Her podcast with Krista Sippy. So much has changed, but the name stays the same. So can't wait for y'all to hear these pre-recorded episodes. Hope y'all enjoy. And this is episode 1 of season bonus 3. Here's another episode of the Empower Her podcast. Today I have a wonderful guest on the show. I'm going to first allow her to introduce herself.
Hi guys, I am C. Nicole. I am the founder of Pan-African Think Tank, which is a nonprofit. I also write books and I sing. So I do a plethora of things, but all in the name of Pan-Africanism.
Awesome. So, could you explain what the Pan-African Think Tank is and how did it come about?
So Pan-African Think Tank is a nonprofit. Basically, we're trying to bridge the gap between Africa and the African diaspora through research as a means to collectively advocate. So it came about one day I was in Brazil and I was told that the children there, they do not learn about history and world geography, meaning they don't know where they came from and they can't point to their country on the map, which had me thinking, well, then they probably can't point to Africa on the map. And so it just made me realize that in order to change the mindset of the masses, first you have to be educated. And so I was like, well, let's just start a Pan-African Think Tank. It's a think tank. So basically we do a lot of research before we just go out and start doing things. So I just saw there was a need to just bridge the gap between Africa and African diaspora because we're really not all that different.
Gotcha. Which is cool. Just want to kind of crack a joke there in a sense. You had said like going to Brazil was like going to DC or something. which is cool. Which this is kind of where my follow up question is. It sounds like you've done like a great deal of traveling. Have you done like ground research yourself? When you did a lot of things, or could you tell the guests kind of what places have you been or what type of research you've done to, I guess, create this piece so that people will understand their history and bridging that gap?
Yeah, so basically it started because I realized that through my travels, so to date I've been to 95 countries. Ooh. So through my travels, yeah, I realized that a lot of people don't really get out. And so they only know what's, you know, fed to them by, you know, the media and things like that. Mm-hmm. And so we have had our first round of forms. We had them in 2020, right before COVID. So we had the chance to go to the capitals in Botswana, Tanzania, Uganda, Rwanda. We did Haiti. We did Brazil. And we did, I think I said Tanzania. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, and then we have phase 2, which we'll be doing in 2 months. And so we'll be going to Sierra Leone, Liberia, Angola, Namibia, and Benin. So basically what we do is during these forums, we try to just gather information because we learned that a lot of times people like have these plans, but like, I was kind of like, well, where did you get the information to do these plans? So right now we're in the research phase. I'm just making sure that we know what we're doing before we actually start executing things.
Cool. Which is cool, one, because you said you've been to 95 countries.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of just want to restate that because that was that was something amazing to know. And then two, being that you all are doing the groundwork, like you're not just taking information from other people.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to, you know, just talk to people on the phone or
yeah, because you know Africa is a little different. So like Western world things, we can do Zoom calls and pick up the phone and try to figure stuff out, but in order to like really know what's going on in Africa, you definitely have to be there. They definitely want to see you. Definitely have to be immersed in in the culture and kind of like feel, they can tell you all day what they think should be done, but you have to be there and actually feel it. Like, you know, I think that's like an Eastern world thing. It's all about feels versus the Western world. We're like, we need stats. And it's like, well, no, you know, it needs to be around the people too. So, yeah, I saw a lot of think tanks that were like just grabbing stuff from different research papers. And I'm like, have you been though? And they're like, no. I'm like, so how do you know this is true?
How you even know this is even factual information? Like, you know, like it kind of goes back to Wikipedia. You know, like somebody can easily go in the edit button. I mean, anybody can press the edit button and write the sky is green, you know. And it's not, you know, and if people say, well, it's on Wikipedia, that is factual. So, yes, that is really, really good that you guys are like doing the groundwork. You getting out there, y'all are traveling. Are y'all like, is it research dollars that y'all getting? I know that might sound like kind of crazy. And the reason why I ask that is because when you hear about a lot of programs or organizations, it's like they sign up for grants and different things, or is it like some like you guys got funding or assistance kind of on you guys'
Yeah,
own?
so we don't really get any governmental funding. It's really hard. So Pan-African Think Tank, on top of that, we're not just focused on the United States. So that cuts out a lot of the opportunities that we can get. And also, a lot of the times when you get government grants, they want you to push the United States agenda. And we don't want to push the agenda. We want to push, people of African descent, regardless of where you live. We want to, push us. We don't get to get a lot of grants. We don't get to get any grants. And then as far as like getting sponsorships for companies and things like that, it's kind of hard too because they want you to be like a diversity inclusive. And I'm like, no, this is for people of African descent. Like, we have to focus on us. So we do donations and we're always trying to garner donations. It's really hard because a lot of the places that we go to are not like, countries that will have a lot to donate. So we depend on the Western world for our donations. And, there's sometimes that we don't have enough money and we have to, cut some countries off. Like we have to cut off Nigeria and Ghana because we just don't have the money. And then you start pulling, like I would have to start pulling for my money. But I told myself when I started the nonprofit that I wasn't going to do that because you get into that mode to where you always feel you have to pull from your money. And then kind of like, well, how are you going to pay your bills? So, yeah, we just donors, just on our GoFundMe, just one-on-one, just people been donating out of the kindness of their hearts, or they go buy our merch. And so all of that money goes to us as well.
Cool. Okay, listeners, y'all see, we got someone that's really trying to get our history, that's really trying to educate us, or just all over the world, no matter where you are, if you are of African descent. It's a nonprofit that's really trying to put that footwork, but also the history out there. So definitely
Yes.
you, and we need this organization. So I think people need to go on and hop on board and get on that GoFundMe or buy merchandise, or even could they like schedule you guys to come and speak? Would speaking engagements be a opportunity?
Yeah, that's anything. Like we have our contact form on there. We're very active on our social media. Like anybody and everybody who's ever reached out to us, we've always responded. So yeah, anything.
Okay. Well, y'all heard that. So, say for instance, you want them to come and speak to a group of kids, because a lot of times when I think about our history, of course, some of us millennials kind of value our history, which is still important. But it seems like the generations under kind of is missing the whole mark, not some of the mark, the whole mark.
Yeah, Generation Z is trying. They're
Yes,
struggling.
they are struggling, because it every time you hear something, a lot of times they either one don't know, like completely just don't know, or they're like, well, I just don't understand why that's important. Nothing against Generation Z. We need them. But of course, like in order for them to become the leaders after we are kind of gone or washed away, it's just gonna be it's just gonna go haywire if, you know, organizations like your organization, of course, like the kids are aware of the Black Lives Matter movement, but they're not aware of like why this fight keep reoccurring. Like that's the main thing. It's okay, yeah, we can ask for rights, yeah, we can ask for equity, yes, we can ask for this and that, yes, we can ask for, you know, talk about social justice issues, but we gotta understand where we came from. That's where the pride part come into play. So
yeah,
I definitely appreciate organizations like the Pan-African Think Tank that's actually, like you said, out there really doing the work, really getting out there, really traveling, really is able to say, I've been there. Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. So, outside of the trip to Brazil, because I just had to correct it up as a joke.
Yeah.
I
know, like I was down the street.
Yeah. You made that real comfortable. It was like, yeah, well, my trip to Brazil, I was like, this girl, where is she? So what was one of the biggest influences on your nonprofit?
Yeah, so beside Brazil, it was actually just coming home from Brazil, and I had asked my own nephew, because me and my sister and I live together, and so her youngest son lives with us as well. And so he was born in 2011. So, you know, he's very young. At the time, I think he was like 6. And I asked him, where did he come from? And he was like, Texas. And I'm like, no, but like, where did you come from? Like, outside of Texas. And he was just like, my mom. And I was like, nah, you're not understanding me. And I was like, well, do you know you come from Africa? And I showed him on the map and he had no clue. And then I just asked him, like, do you know that you have ancestors? And he was like, what are ancestors? And I was like, oh, Lord, I'm feeling at home. Like, so if I have all this information and I'm feeling at home, I wonder, like, how is it for people who don't have any of this information? And so, yeah, and those two things really catapulted me into just saying, forget it. Let's just start the nonprofit now. Because, yeah, like you just spoke about Generation Z. They don't know. He's Generation Z.
They don't know. They're just like how your little nephew, imagine being 16 and you know you took a history class and you still say, I don't know.
And that's what I did want it to be, you know? And so, you know, I just figure if you try to stop it as early as possible.
Yes. Because you got to know who you are and whose you are.
Okay. I like that. Yes.
Because, you know, I mean, it means a lot, because you'll know, okay, I'm not going to let people disrespect me or my culture.
That so, part.
It's like, long, you know, once you realize that and get some understanding, just, it can be something as basic as, okay, I know my ancestral background is from Africa. Now, whether with tribe or with country, all of that, please know Africa is a continent.
Thank you.
to know it's a continent, but as far as like what tribe or what group or where and all that, you know, that's a whole nother frame, but probably Pan-African Think Tank can probably help with that one. But
yeah, it's crazy because, you know, you deal with that with kids, like it's like trying to figure out what age do we introduce them into slavery.
Yes.
Like I said, Africa is a continent, and they're gonna like, well, what country in Africa? Then we got that we have to go through the whole rabbit hole of how a lot of us don't know cause slavery. So yeah,
because some people they're like, okay, but you know, especially when it comes to our sisters and brothers who are like from the islands, that whole like debate is like, I'm like, look, y'all still.
Listen, it's wild.
Like, yeah, the only difference is one of us was dropped off over here.
It's just where the boat docked.
There we go. And one of us was dropped off over there. But we are still the same.
Yes.
It's just one of us was dropped off on one side and one of us was dropped off on another. So, yeah, it's definitely a really, really good conversation to have with small children, especially not just in the month of February, but in general. Because if we're gonna live by this statement of 365 black, or us being a part of the culture and all this stuff, we have to still go back to the stuff from the beginning. So how did all this begin? And why are we here now? And why should we feel rich in the things that, not saying rich in the fact that we were slaves, but rich in the things that happened before we were enslaved. Because, we call ourselves king and queens and stuff, but some folks still, again, kind of going back to the whole Africa's a continent, not a country, people still say it due to lack of knowledge. So, just another quick question. Who is your biggest supporter, or what is your biggest support? Because in this situation, you kind of got like a whole thing going on.
Yeah, my biggest supporter is actually my little brother.
Oh.
Like, whatever I'm doing, he doesn't even ask what I'm doing. Like, if I tell him I'm doing something, he don't even need to know the particulars. He's just willing to support. So, yeah.
Wow. And how old is he?
He is 26.
Oh, okay. Okay, cool. Cool. So he kind of.
Yeah, so when I say supporter, I mean he's also putting his money where his mouth is. So
See,
yes, he donates a lot.
now, see, that's the type of support you need. Not saying that, and it's kind of crazy when I ask people, like, who is your biggest supporter? Everybody says their family, which is awesome. I love to hear that because a lot of people, a lot of millennials, and I've seen a couple of Gen Z say a lot of times their family don't back them up as they think they should.
Yeah, and I think when people say like family, like, and I don't know if it's just something with our culture or what, but I tell people your family can support you all day, but it takes money to make this thing
Yes,
happen.
ma'am.
So when we talk support, we need to be talking, pushing you and also financially backing you.
Like your brother.
Yes.
Yeah, because people can see the vision, but at the same time, sometimes seeing the vision might be, I'm getting you connected with somebody that got some money. Now, I might not be able to pull the money for you, but that person over
Right, and I love that too.
there
So,
got
we're just sit there and clap. Like, I appreciate y'all claps, but yeah.
it. Yeah, like, my vision ain't gonna go nowhere if I ain't got no money. So yes, especially when you said it's hard getting those grants, and most definitely it is, because most time grants are centered around the country that it's applied in, and it has to fit this. I don't think people understand. Yeah, it
Criteria.
has to fit the criteria. You have to complete these things, else it's not gonna get funded again, or they're gonna probably ask
Right,
you
it's a
for
cash
the
too. Exactly. It's like you're giving me this money to help, but you have strings attached to it.
Correct,
So
correct.
you're making me do more work.
Yeah, and it's like a whole nother entity and all this kind of stuff. Yeah. I actually work under a grant, so I definitely I can attest to it. It's very it people think it's cute, but it's very interesting, especially when it comes to research.
Yeah, once you read the fine print of what they asking for, yeah, it
You like, now wait a minute, now how I'm gonna make this happen? And then I'm gonna have to explain to you how I didn't make it happen and what can I do next time. So yes, totally understand. But I think that, maybe in the future, or maybe you can create your own grant, once you kind of get things going and
Oh yes, that's definitely the plan. So the plan is to, like, after we do these forms, so when we do the forms, we only partner with one organization within the country because we don't want things lost in translation. We want to just have one go-to person. And so after we do all the forms, we'll have a Pan-African Think Tank convention where all the heads of each organization that we partner with come together, and we will realistically figure out how we can work on the top 10 issues that we have collectively, and then the top three issues within this generation, hoping that the next generation will continue on. But because of that, they need money, right? So the ideal is to funnel money to those organizations to work out what they need to work out in those countries.
Cool.
So that's what we're doing.
Now that's really cool too, especially being that you're in the United States and you're helping. You get if it's pretty cool.
Yeah, our money will stretch more too, because if I'm, giving them dollars when they convert it, it'll be even more for them. So yeah, that's
Correct,
the
correct. Well, y'all listeners, y'all here, someone here is trying to build up her ancestral communities, which is all our ancestors in some form or fashion, of course.
goal.
So, you know, we always say we want to help.
Listen, I just had a whole conversation about there's so many people who say they want to help, but I'd be like, but
Yeah,
do
like do like can you like again, you know, hey, I'm clapping for you. All right, I'm gonna repost this post, but let me try to get you in contact with somebody that can take you to the next level, especially if I know
Yeah.
them. And I think that's one of the biggest issues with entrepreneurs and with people that are like in the, I guess, the service industry, in the
Yeah.
providing a service. Is that, you know, because I'm an entrepreneur as well, we're not just asking you, hey, buy my products. I still need help to get to the next level. I can't do it by myself. So if you see somebody that can help me get to the next level and you know them, connect. Now that's free. Like that's free.
Yes,
That that's all we're asking. We're not asking for you to provide. Now, if you got $250,000, hey, give it. You know, if you got it to give, but we're just asking if you know somebody with that $250,000, you know that they're willing to give it away, then be my guest and go on and try to get us connected so we can, you know, make the vision happen. So yeah, I think that's really, really good. And I definitely look forward, especially to that conference of the think tank conference with all the leaders and stuff coming, because we
Yeah, that would be amazing. I like so before they used to have these Pan-African conferences, like with Marcus Garvey and them, like they had at least I think like four or five in the 1900s, and then I don't know if the civil rights movement took over it or whatnot, but like they stopped having them, and so we're just trying to bring it
Yeah,
back.
that would be really cool, because I mean, we still, even though we are going through our own problems in the United States, we still need to be aware of what's going on globally. Because
Yeah.
like, yeah, everybody's in this pandemic. That's absolutely true. But all the social justice issues did not stop. All the social issues have not stopped. So, you know, the news at one point, I think it was showing like, especially the attacks on kids when it comes to education. You
Yes.
know, like it was a big thing before the pandemic, but now we see nothing. You know, at one point kids were getting kidnapped and killed, and like we were like, okay. And then environmentally, there were mudslides, because I think when I competed for Black USA in 17, the prime minister of, I can't think of where it was, but a mud the Sierra Leone, that's what it was.
Okay.
Well, I think it was the consulate, not the prime minister. He was supposed to have came. We were supposed to meet him, but the mudslide happened, and it ruined a lot of homes and things. And we were like, oh my God, like this was going on like that week. And then we were like, man, you know, so you don't hear anything going on globally anymore on the news at
Right.
all. Like you might see something here or there, but to know that you're trying to like bridge that gap and trying to get that communication in, you never know, you may be reporting stuff that's going on over there that we're not even seeing. at all.
Yeah, we have a partner in Uganda. They're actually a news organization, and so sometimes when I go to different countries, I just report for them because, we don't really know a lot about each other. People in Uganda, like I reported when I was in Haiti, the people in Uganda don't know what's going on in Haiti and vice versa. So yeah.
So that's really, hey, you never know. Might be some math com student somewhere, some college that want to join you, and that, join you and or assist or whatever, so that they can kind of get that experience of going,
Yes, definitely.
yeah, going overseas and seeing what's truly going on.
Yeah, we're definitely in about the next 2 or 3 years going to be looking for interns that just want to, that just have a love for, people of African descent and want to just help. So, definitely.
Cool. Now I do have one. It's not a dumb question, but it makes sense, I guess. Now, is it solely for people of African descent? Like, definitely, if it's somebody who is not of African descent that wants to learn more about the Pan-African think tank, are they allowed or?
They can like follow us on social, but as far as like, do we purposely have our forums with only people of African descent? Yes. Do we purposely do everything that we do for people of African descent? Yes. When we start looking for interns, will it be for people of African descent? Yes. I think that I do it that way because we, as people of African descent, especially in the United States, we were so concerned with inclusion that that we kind of like still made it ourselves trying to be like everyone else. So I've decided to try to kind of make it like a house, right? So when you had dinner with your family, it was just you and your family. You didn't let in anybody else to the dinner table. Now, maybe they came over for lunch, but dinner was for the family. And so that's what I think about Pan-African Think Tank. Like, we're not concerned with all the other ethnic groups are doing because that's how we get lost in the sauce, right? So we just want to be concerned with what we're doing. This is our dinner table. And when I say, can they come for lunch? Yes, they can come for lunch. They can donate. It's still a tax write-off. If you say you want to help the cause, then why does it matter that you have to be sitting at the table? No, just help the cause because we're here. Because of what your ancestors did. So I'm not going to invite the ancestors of the rapists to the table with me. That doesn't make any sense. So that's also where our problem comes with the grants, because I let them know this, like, this is something for us. The blinders are on to other group ethnic groups. We don't really care. We just want to focus on us, and you can't sit at the table with us because we're here because of your
Correct,
table.
correct, correct. And then it's, I guess you also think of, you have to think about the fact that, like, who else would really benefit more
Yeah.
than those of us who, I mean, look like us?
Yeah. I mean, I sat and I thought about all of that, and we have so many nonprofits for people of African descent that includes people like the NAACP. A lot of people of different ethnic groups are on the board. But at the end of the day, I can listen to you talk about our problems. But you would never be in my shoes, you would never have the skin tone, you would never have the traumas of our ancestors. So your words, I take it, but they kind of fall on deaf ears, because at the end of the day, when you leave the meeting with us, you go off and live your privileged life. Like, it, like, so I mean, it is what it is. I mean, I respect them. I respect anyone who wants to help and be an ally. But we have to also just be honest with ourselves and realize, like, you can never walk a mile in our shoes.
True. That is true. And I don't think, like, well, I say this. I think society is trying to get there, but they also miss the mark. Because in their minds, they're like, okay, well, it kind of goes back to the I have a black friend statement. And it's like, okay, but do you understand that your black friend, if they weren't beside you or if they were with you, they will still automatically assume that they are the criminal?
Yeah. That's so true. And then, like, just to even further, even more, like, another reason why I have to do that is because we, as people of African descent, we're trying to get to know each other, right? So I'm trying to get to know people on the continent. The people on the continent are trying to get to know the ones off of the continent. Now you want me to add a third person into the party that has nothing to do with us? That's too much work.
Correct.
We're just gonna keep it simple.
Correct. And that's totally understood. I was just curious, because I know some people always try to ask.
No, I love that you ask the question. A lot of times people dance around it like they're not sure if it's right. And then I just like, no, like you can ask. I'm just gonna be honest with you and tell you.
Correct, correct. And hey, that's the way you broke it down, that is the perfect way to be, because you have to think about it. If the shoe was on the other foot, yeah, in a sense,
Well, the shoe is on the other foot every day, and we're still not invited to those tables.
I was actually about to mention about affirmative action, and you, and this seemed like last year they was trying to like debunk it in their own way. They was trying to say, well, that's unconstitutional because y'all do have rights. Yeah, but we're still half of a person. Sometimes a third of a person. Sometimes not even a whole person. So,
The dog got more
yeah,
rights.
oh, whew, please don't get that. Please don't get started on that one. Dogs, the chickens, the whatever animal that, yeah.
Okay, endangered species.
Yes, because it makes you think about the when the small baby boy had fell in the ape pen. They were more focused on the ape being tranquilized than the little black boy being picked up by the ape. And I was
Sad.
like, so we're not going to talk about how this so-called safety parameter that y'all had here was ineffective. So we're gonna just focus on this dead. Okay. Yeah, I don't want to get kicked off, and I don't want nobody to be upset. So, but yes, we on the same wavelength. So definitely, totally understand. Just one last question before we get on a break, go on a break, because this conversation is getting pretty good. If you had to choose another profession, which you speak so passionately about this, I am not sure. What would it be?
And I hate to say this because it kind of like goes into the realm, but I don't have the time to do it, but I probably could. I guess I would want to be a
I can
professor.
see that. I can
Just
see that.
educate
I can see
people.
that. I honestly thought you was either gonna say historian. Or I can see that. I can see
Yeah, because when I was in college, I was like, this all y'all do? Oh,
that.
I can do this.
I can definitely see that. Okay. That is
Yeah.
really cool. So you guys, I know we're having fun. We're gonna have some more fun when we come back from the break. So y'all just hang tight and we will be right back. We are back. So we're gonna kind of shift gears a little bit in the conversation, but it's still gonna all tie in. I know y'all been enjoying this conversation. So with Misty Nicole. So the
Yeah.
first question in this shift is, do you believe that there is a love for the culture, but not love actually for those who are a part of the culture?
Completely. Like, we see that every day in hip hop music and in, oh my goodness, so many TV ads have hip hop in there now. We see it when we have the white girls in the cornrows and the hoop earrings, which was once called ghetto, that now is, a trend. When I see white people in the Ankara cloth, like you from West Africa. So yeah.
Yes. I mean, even with marketing for like clothing items, I
Oh, and that's a huge one. My background is marketing, so I see the games every
And I'm
day.
like, y'all know this is like culture appropriation, right?
It makes me wonder, like, it doesn't even, you know what? It doesn't make me wonder. It makes me realize that you would rather deal with backlash and have a few people of African descent in the room with you when you're making these decisions. Because it clearly could be
Basically,
stopped.
it also made me think about too when a lot of times, especially I'm not gonna say with celebrities, but they always mention like how people would say to them, they're like, okay, well, you date our men, you make babies, you have mixed kids, you appropriate our culture, but when stuff happens, y'all are nowhere to be found. Y'all aren't speaking up. Y'all aren't doing anything.
I mean, that's just feminism 101 because white women stay wanting us to join their causes, but don't be trying to join our causes.
That
So yeah, it's the same thing. It's crazy, like a lot of white men and women, like they want to have mixed kids for like, the curly hair and the beautiful like tan skin tone. But when it's time for them to speak up, like,
Yeah.
where you at? And it's even harder, like if you have a mixed son, like you should definitely, not saying that we women don't have our issues. Oh, we do have our issues, but it's people out there literally hunting our sons, hunting our brothers, hunting our fathers. So yeah, it's definitely an issue where you don't speak up. It's yeah, I don't care if you want to be on the sidelines and say you're trying to keep the peace. You're not keeping the peace by not speaking
Basically,
up.
I mean, by not saying anything, you're counterproductive. So it's best to just, if you're gonna say, mean what you say and say what you mean. The decision has already
Yes.
been made, especially when it's a child involved. So you might as well just go on and
Don't lay with us and then don't want to
yeah,
support
like you,
us.
the decision was already made, so it's best to just go on and do what you're gonna do. It also made me think about, and I'm not sure if you kind of follow some stuff that's been kind of going on in hip hop, but the light skin song by someone that's not even qualified to call herself light skin. It was a rapper's girlfriend. Well, now it's girlfriend. They're not together anymore. But she's Caucasian, white, and she made a song about being light skinned.
I think I saw something about that and I just like exited off. I was like, this is not worth my time. This is coonery. Oh my goodness. And that goes back to the people who are on, TikTok showing girls how to like make themselves look like light skinned girls and stuff like that, which is, that's all
Yeah, it
crazy,
is. And it kind of bridges that. It makes this disconnect because we already have colorism as an issue within our own culture. But then you have people
Oh,
trying to
yes.
appropriate that ain't even either. They're not neither light skin or dark skin. And it's like, okay, look, can y'all not, like, don't try to even get over here, or just don't do it, because we already got enough issues right now of trying to tell,
Enough.
young ladies, no matter what skin tone they are, or how their hair texture is, or how their shape, that they're beautiful regardless.
Yes.
So the next question is, what do you think our communities can do to eliminate the negative stereotypes that are often placed or described in the media?
Hard. It's hard because the people, a lot of times, the people who are perpetuating the stereotypes are us,
Yeah.
and And that's hard because you know they're getting paid to do it. And it just reminds me back of, like, you know, in the crack era, right? Yes, the government did infiltrate our neighborhoods with crack. But who was the one selling it? It was us. So it puts me in that same mindset, like, damn, you know, like, literally, that's all you can say. And I've even talked to, you know, people at record labels about the music that is pushed out there. And I was like, well, do you think that, you know, since Black Lives Matter and everything is going on, that, you know, it will stop being pushed? Half of them was like, yeah, but I was so thankful. This one man, he is of African descent. He was like, no. He was like, because people keep buying it and we are a business, we're here to make money. And I was like, he's right. You know, we can have this facade that we're going to change and be better. But until we stop it and not worry about the dollar signs behind it, then that's going to be the only thing. And it's hard because we have so many Uncle Toms. So it's like, when is it going to stop? I personally have positive music that's out there uplifting us. And you'll be surprised how many times my team comes back to me and they tell me that, you know, this magazine passed on it, this blog passed on it, because I'm talking about uplifting things. Like, they want to hear the perpetuals of, you know, drugs, sex, alcohol, you know, naked women, you know, spending money, that, you know, positive things is hard. And then don't get me wrong, they do let some of us in with the positivity, but think about, like, the ratio, though. Like, for every one positive person, there's 20 negative people. So eventually that positive person is going to be swallowed with, you know, all the other negativity that's around. So I feel like if it was like before the 90s, I feel like I can definitely say that it's hard, and that we kind of like don't have an equal playing field. But now, like 2021, we definitely can make the decisions to stop, but we just don't.
I think we also have the opportunity to be like, okay, look, we're gonna make our own lane, okay? And whatever you got going on, but the scary part about making your own lane is having people to follow you.
Yeah. And that goes back to what you were saying again about Generation Z. So a lot of the things that are cool is because of them, right? They make it cool. And if we don't have millennials, Generation Z, and even to this, we have Generation Alpha now, you know, they're about, you know, five and
Wait,
three,
what's the
four,
name of
five
the
years
group? What's the
old.
name of the new group?
Generation Alpha. I have a brother that's in Generation Alpha, so that's how I know. My brother is two, so yeah, so it unless we have them following us, they're just gonna, it's hard, you know, with the doing your own lane thing.
Because I mean, like, it kind of goes back to what you were saying when you questioning those execs, you know, in the music industry about the topics that are discussed in music. Like, these kids, I mean, if you throw a good beat on, because that's mainly what happens. You put a good beat on the song could be completely trash. It could just have two words in it.
You know what I learned? It's not even just the beat either, because I literally went to a producer and we literally like beats from scratch that we knew would be popping, that we knew that people would, their ear would catch. It's also the word. So they want to hear repetition. And when you have lyrics like a chorus and a verse that are not saying the same things over and over, like, it's like, can y'all mind not grasp that people talk about more than the same thing over and over? So it's the beat and it's also the repetition. So yeah, people don't
Oh
listen to lyrics
no, oh
anymore.
no, Well, people get mad with me when I break down lyrics because I love doing it. And I love just seeing everybody face in there looking crazy, like, I didn't know that song was about that.
If you think, like, why is EDM so popular, right? It hardly has any words. It's mostly beat. Same thing with trap. Why is trap so popular? They repeat the same
Same
things over
topics.
and over. It's like the same eight bars over and over.
Topics and a whole bunch of
ad libs, yes, and they be just saying random stuff. Yo, I'll be like, okay, you said that like 10
Right,
times
right.
already.
And I think now when you mention that, and I one of the songs that everybody loved at first because they heard the beat and they recognized all the names, and it was super smart when he did it, was This Is America. And I think people didn't catch what he
Yeah.
was doing. People were so stuck on the things in the video, but I'm like, if you catch on to what it is, this is America. We're so set on.
And he was smart because the fact that you're saying that, you're so right. Like, if that visual didn't drop before the song, like they would have just listened to the song without the visual, because that song has
It
so
does.
much in it.
It does. Like
Yeah.
he hit the mark with that song on so many levels, and I think people don't like he had the ad libs in there, like you said. He had the beat in there. He kind of rapped like a trap rapper in a sense. But you gotta catch the words to
Yeah.
what he was saying. And then when you watch the video, you're like, wait a minute, this has got a lot of violence in it. Why is it so violent? Because that's what we see on the news. We see it on social media.
Yeah.
We're so,
Girl, we
completely. Like,
desensitized.
child, there's no censoring of anything nowadays. So when people saw the video, and they're like, "Yo, did y'all see that video?" And then when they heard the song, they was like, okay, I get it. It's catchy." But y'all not catching the words. That song, as well as I cannot think, it's a J. Cole song, and he was talking about people selling drugs and stuff, or getting into something like illegal. I can't think of the name of the song right now, but
Yeah, because he has so many songs where he's like just being lyrical and always telling a good story.
And it was like, I can't think of the name of it right now, but it was, if you listen to it, of course you'll hear the beat and you'll be like, ooh, this beat sounds familiar, and you hear him rapping, but you're not catching the words. So
Yeah.
it's, a lot of people don't, they will rather prefer a trap rapper though, that's talking about drugs and alcohol, than telling people, hey, to not do drugs and alcohol.
And the crazy part about that is a lot of these rappers who rap about drugs and alcohol don't even
Alcohol.
do
No,
drugs and
not at all.
alcohol.
And then they don't even let their kids listen to any of it.
Cardi does not let her kid listen to her songs. Future does not, has never picked up no Percocet.
And I was sitting here like, now this is, but even back in the 90s, which is why Walmart used to have the censored versions of the CDs, the artists would
Yes.
actually buy the censored version for their kids in Walmart. But everybody else goes to the regular store in the area, or the guy on the street is selling a $5 CD with all the cussing in it. I'm like, now. Y'all don't want to play this same foolishness your kids are listening to, but you want your kids listening to the opposite. Mind blown.
Yeah, it goes back to the money thing, And adults always say, like, hey, I'm not here to be a role model. They have their own parents. I get that. But at some point, especially in America, you know how much the media plays
Correct.
into everyday life and how much social media pay. Like, you can say that you're not making this for them, but with all the avenues that we have to access things now, they're going to see
Child,
it.
babies know how to use YouTube and can't read.
Listen, like I was talking about Generation Alpha, that's all they know. My brother has his phone, he has his tablet. I'm scared to ever show him a CD
They're
player
gonna be
because
like,
he's not
"What
gonna
is
know what
that?"
that is.
So, yes, I think that, like, if we don't, within our communities, if we don't sit down and say, hey, look, y'all, either, and it's not a us and them, because, like you said, sometimes it's just us until we say, look, we're not going to put up with this, or we're not going to continue to do this.
Enough is enough.
Yeah,
Until
if
we say
we
it, yeah.
until we say, look, we're not going to put up with this, it's going to continue to happen. Because, I mean, they know we're we have the biggest buying power. They know we can affect and create change. Even going back to the first question I asked you about the culture, they know. Because now, whose idea really was it to put the twerking music on the TurboTax commercial last year?
Unacceptable.
I was like, who was y'all marketing person? But they knew.
Yeah.
Folks like to twerk. So what I'm going to do, create a twerk song, make y'all come up in here to the tax place.
Right.
So we have to create those and be the example that we want Gen Alpha to do.
Yes. Yes, because them babies is looking at us. I'm telling you, they are watching our every
it.
Move.
I wholeheartedly believe it. So, in which, here's another question, even though I kind of already know the answer. What is your nonprofit organization doing to build up our community?
Yeah, but I did hit on what our biases are. So I feel like every organization have a bias and they're not honest with them, but I'm very honest with ours. We are big on education and we are big on entrepreneurship. So we're always putting out things just to educate, especially if you follow our Instagram, which is at PanAfricanTT. We're always trying to highlight things that's going on within Africa and the diaspora. Mm-hmm. So just Pan Africa as a whole. And as far as entrepreneurship, you'll be surprised. Some places within the diaspora or even in Africa, they kind of like frown upon entrepreneurship. Like, you're not, yeah, like, especially in Africa, you're not really like, you know, seen as like, you know, a big man or a woman unless you like have a job, you know, for the government or things, or like, you know, even the private sector. But when you say entrepreneurship, they're like, you gonna work for yourself? Because you know, when you're an entrepreneur, you're not going to see your return off bat. It's going to be years before you actually see a good return of, you know, everything that you've done. You know, obviously, unless you're trying to do a startup, because that's like super quick. But yeah, so just trying to change the mindset, right? So just trying to change the mindset of what entrepreneurship is over there. 1/3 of the population in Africa, the continent, they're youth. So they're, you know, under 25. So with that generation, I feel like, you know, if we just introduce entrepreneurship the right way. So also what we want to do, we do want to eventually give, you know, grants to people who are trying to start their businesses. Because sometimes all it takes is one person to get like $500, and that could mean the world to them to help start what they need to do. So that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to make everyone like not depend on the government so much and kind of like carve out their own lane and then help bring up others along with them.
I like it. Sound like a co-op.
Yeah, I tell you, we start looking into that, all of that, and like we do also want to like help fund startups and things like that. It's people of African descent, they're just talented. They're so talented. They're just not given a chance.
That is true.
So
Chad put a group of us in a room and we done created a whole, you know.
Listen. The amount of things that we come up with that, you know, people of other ethnic groups call ghetto, and I'd be like, no, they smart. Like, we smart. Like, you just didn't think of it.
You know, when they come back because they done heard somebody else say it, and then, boom, here it is.
Yeah, we just be trying to work smart, not hard, you know.
So, one last question before we start wrapping up. Is what should the culture consider when it comes to the media and how we are often portrayed?
I mean, the biggest thing is I always tell people, just put your money behind your actions. When it comes to the media and how we're portrayed, I'm pretty sure they would, I want them to consider it. They will stop doing a lot of stuff that they did if we took our dollars away from it. People of African descent, they put in $1 trillion a year in just consumer spending. And so if we were like no more, like well, the hard thing about the times today is we don't know how to boycott. Right? So I'm big on boycotting. Like, when I tell you, when I found out what Starbucks was doing, like, listen, my coffee is not more important
Exactly.
than how they treat us. So like just certain places like that, I can stop on the drop of the dime, on a dime. Like it doesn't matter because it's about, my dignity. And a lot of times I even heard people say there's a big chain, I'm pretty sure you know of, it's called Chick-fil-A. And I've heard Black people say, "Oh, if Chick-fil-A do something, I'm gonna tell y'all right now, I'm not boycotting with y'all." I was like, really, over a
You
chicken
can make your
sandwich?
own chicken
You gonna
sandwich.
let them talk like this? I'm like, all these other options for chicken sandwiches out there. Yeah, but they not Chick-fil-A though. I said, you know what? And that is our problem within the community. And just random things like we should only be supporting people of African descent that are supporting us. And he's doing it now, but it took him time. But Jordan Houston didn't support us.
That was
He would go
very
buy
noted.
his shoes. Now, right? Now he supports us. Because he saw that, maybe he could have supported us and still been a star like the way LeBron does. So, it's everything. It's the media. It's the things that we buy. People of African descent need to keep in our head, they're not going to stop doing what they're doing and portraying us the way they portray us because we keep
That is
supporting
true.
it.
And I think that's going to be the only way they're going to understand, because we marched, we fought, we got people in legislation. Like, we've done pretty much everything except take our dollars away.
I think that if we continue the protest, if we continue electing the people into office to change legislation, and then backdoor with the boycott,
Oh, they'll
oh
lose it.
Lord.
They'll
When
lose it.
I
We
tell
might
you,
have another January situation. Because,
okay,
oh,
you see what
yeah,
happened with Black Wall
because
Street.
you got to think about it. Really, the real reason why that happened was because Georgia turned blue. And that's the part they're not admitting to. So, just
Yep.
seeing a Black woman help a whole state turn from red to blue.
Listen, it's Black History Month, and we just had Black History Month. Now it's March now, but it's Black
Okay.
History 365. We just have to highlight Miss Stacy because, like, what people don't understand, don't cross
Yes, say
a
it.
Black woman. You did not let her win fair and square. Okay, fine. She said, "All right, I'm gonna turn everything around." You don't want to cross. I'll be telling you do not
Again.
want to cross a Black woman because that is gonna be a burn. Because you're not gonna see
You
it.
ain't gonna
You're
see
not
it
gonna see
coming.
it now. Oh, but you're gonna feel the effects when you finally see it. But when you see it's gonna be too late.
And I mean, she, because I think that was Fannie Lou Hamer said, you gotta make a seat at the table. Doggone it. She done brought the whole table. She done brought a whole nother wood table.
She didn't even bring a table. She done made a whole house. Like, what do you
And put
mean?
it right on top of Jordan.
Like, okay. Like, just she changed the trajectory of what this administration can accomplish for a country. So it's like, you didn't want to give her a seat at the state table? Fine. She's going to flip the whole country then. That's power.
That is power.
That's positive power on top of that. So,
Yeah, so
yes, I'm here for
I
it.
really, really, really hope it more change will happen. Like, honestly, I hope Stacy kind of give a lot of our legislators in Mississippi here the tools how to turn the state from red to blue, because it is a lot of young people in my state that They said they voted, and just every time we get around to like state elections and stuff, or even a presidential election, we still read. And I'm like, okay, all right, so is it.
You know what? I get it though, because that's Texas too. I think so, like the main cities are usually blue, but I think that once again, we're so stuck in our little neighborhoods that we don't realize how many other small towns are red. And once you add all those small towns up, it blows these big cities out the
It does.
water. Crazy.
And just, I guess that, and it's so much to fight against within your own. Because a lot of people, when they start talking about government, they start going from all the way up at the head. They start talking about the president. But it's like, okay, y'all, like presidential elections is not the only thing you got to vote for.
It starts locally,
And I believe that that's what Stacey probably took the time out to do, is to educate the communities on one. Okay, yeah, we're going to do a voter registration drive. And yeah, we might serve some fried chicken, or we might do it at a club, or we might do it this neat kind of way. But let me tell you what else is important. You need to go to the polls, not get this little paper and get this little piece of paper mailed to you, but actually vote in every single election.
Yeah, she worked from the bottom up versus working from the up down, top down. So.
You could tell, and it's still more to do, of course, with Georgia, but you can tell that she took the time out. She strategized this whole thing.
And she did it without them really knowing. Like, she was just working in silence, I feel like. Like, I
Me
didn't even know
neither.
she was doing all of that. And just results. I was like, wow, girl, I'm trying to get more like you. I'm trying to work
Okay,
in
that's
silence
what
like
moving in
that.
silence is.
Okay, if I
Okay,
didn't
now you
know, now
know.
y'all know.
So this conversation has been so good. We're gonna talk about so much, but again, we're gonna be kind of wrapping it up
Is.
now. So, what is some advice? Of course, you done gave a lot of gems and dropped some gems and everything, but you're welcome. But what
Thank
is some
you.
advice that you would like to inform the listeners to do? Like, what would you want them to do?
I always try to tell people that I just want you guys to just keep learning. Even those who are like done with high school, done with college, like the learning never stops. The learning is every day. Also keep your ears open as well because you learn from others. Just be able to like learn from others and step into other people's shoes and actually, see what's going on, beyond your own biases. Yeah, and just keep pushing. I know people say that all the time, but it definitely means something now during the pandemic because it's so much going on mentally, financially, especially. And yeah, just keep pushing, keep learning. I do believe in God, so I always say what God has for you will be for you. so yeah,
Okay.
that's what I want to
Well,
say.
now you guys, you heard her. Definitely do those things because they, it's important. I mean, how else will we have the pride within ourselves or the confidence if we don't, one, learn about our ancestry, and two, actually look at what can we do in our communities? Because I mean, they always say be the change that you want to see, but like we really need to be the change that we want to see.
Yeah, and it doesn't even have to be on a large scale. I'm pretty sure we all have nieces, nephews, and cousins that we can influence in a positive way. So just get your own little
Yes,
tribe and start from
yes.
there.
All right, and what are some upcoming events? I know you just dropped the album.
Yeah, so the album Pan African Think Tank Volume 1 came out February 12th, and obviously I'm trying to garner more donations. So I was like, man, if I just name the EP after the nonprofit, when they Google it, they'll see everything. Basically, it's just six tracks. They're all about, uplifting us and, dropping history in there, but in a fun way. Just trying to be positive and bring back some of those tribal sounds from Africa as well. So basically it's tribal trill. It's Southern beats, so like Southern American beats mixed with African grooves and percussion. So that we have that, and then we also have merch for Pan African Think Tank. We do have our bomber jackets that we just launched. So basically, they have our logo in the front, and then on the back, it's this huge Africa in gold. So when you're walking away, and people turn around, and they still see that Africa on your back. Yes, and then we also have I write books as well, so. We also have The Rain Africa, which is a children's book, just telling you you're learning about different tribes in Africa, and I'm currently writing about the tribes in North America and South America because that's going to drop Black History Month in Europe. So in Europe, Black History Month in
Interesting.
October. So yeah, and then in April we'll be back out in Africa having forums, just gathering more information on the
That's what's
ground. So
up.
yeah.
Busy, busy. But I definitely like it. Just busy,
Trying.
busy. Okay. Okay.
Yes.
Well, I definitely wish your organization the best. Because I know some amazing stuff is going to take place and going to kick off, and people are going to pour more into your organization. You'll be able to travel a lot more.
Yes, we are claiming it right now.
So I think you had kind of told within the podcast today, but how can we reach you?
Yes, so Pan African Think Tank can be found at panafricantt.org. And you can find us on Instagram, Twitter, and Pinterest at panafricantt. So when you go to panafricantt.org, you can click on shop, you can see all our merch, or you can click on donate and you can donate. And if you want to get in contact with me directly, I am on all socials at Miss C. Nicole. So that is MS. C, and then Nicole is
All right, you
Nichole.
guys. Y'all got how you can reach out to her and how you can listen to the EP. You can pour more into the Pan-African Think Tank organization, as well as if you do have kids or small kids or know some kids, to purchase the book. So there's a lot of different opportunities, or to just reach her individually.
Yes, education on all levels. And if you do something similar to us, please don't hesitate to reach out. We're always willing to collab with organizations that stand for the same things that we stand for. We always respond to everything within 24 to 48 hours. So if we don't, that means I don't know what your email's lost in the stratosphere somewhere. Just send
Okay, customer
it
service. Good customer
again.
service. That's really, really good. Y'all, for me, let's see, I had the business brunch last week. Last Saturday went well. Other than that, really nothing. I think just kind of continuing to build up the brand. It'll be a year real soon with my boutique, The Crown Closet. So got items there. Podcast, of course, recording the episodes, putting them out, and pretty much kind of enjoying life for right now. Cause this pandemic, you have to find some normalcy, and it'll be a whole year of to date real soon. So. All
Yes,
right.
indeed.
Well, this concludes the episode. I did enjoy speaking with you today, Miss C. Nicole. Thank you.
I enjoyed you as well. Good banter. I love it as
Awesome.
always.
So until next time, hope you guys have a good day.